What's good? This is Drew Dapps tapping in with you from San Diego, California, and this is my mix for Beyond the Beats podcast. Let's go.
Thank you. muy romántica.
Feeling the vibe hardcore right now. This is some sexy, funky, soulful, deep house, man. This is just exactly what I needed as I'm cooped up here from the coronavirus COVID-19 outbreak. This is the type of stuff that will get you wanting to put your dancing shoes back on. You don't even need to go out to the club. You can just put this Drew Dapps mix on and in your living room start shuffling. As I'm sure you were, Samir. Dude, this was a fantastic mix.
Alex, just hold on 1 second. I got to go get my mail because I'm pretty sure my plush, luxurious robe just came in, dude. Let me just throw this on real quick. Crack open a nice can of White Claw.
Dude, what is it with you and White Claw, man? I don't know.
Hey, don't talk shit about White Claw. Just sit back and soak in the sexiness that is Drew Dapp's take on house music. Dude, enough of this talking like he's not even here. He's in the room right now, streaming over to us from San Diego, California. Drew Dapps, what up, homie? How you doing?
Yo, what's good, my man? Thank you for having me. And I just got to say, I appreciate you associating my music with White Claws and velour robes. That's definitely a compliment.
So what's your favorite White Claw?
I'm actually very glad you asked me about this because recently came across a discovery. So you know them new mango joints, the new mango mm-hmm, White Claws? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tajin in the claw, slapping.
Oh, you know, really?
You know how they put tajin on mangoes, just the fruit?
Yeah.
Straight in the can is hitting.
Ooh, dude. All right. You know, so I'm not a White Claw.
You're blowing minds.
I'm not a White Claw person, but I might have to try that out. Maybe I can just see nice crisp White Claw.
For sure.
I love it, dude. Thank you for the tip there. And what a way to kick off this artist spotlight. Drew, thanks so much for joining us, man. You know, if there's one way that we got to categorize your music, it's sexy, because that's what it is. It is so sexy. It's so infectious, and it makes you want to move and groove. Drew, tell us a little bit about yourself, man. Like, tell us about your background. How did you start producing music? How did you get to house music? Like, I feel like you got an interesting story. So tell us about yourself, man.
I definitely grew up in a musical household. As I was young, my big brother and my pops were jamming on guitars and all that. And my brother was taking music seriously. He went to school for guitar and played in all types of bands, all types of genres. So naturally, as a kid, you definitely want to be like your older sibling. So seeing him do his thing with his music was definitely inspiring to me. So that's when I started to pick up the guitar, but I bounced around a lot on instruments. I play guitar. I wanted to play the drums too. And then eventually got into the keys a little bit. And in middle school and high school, I was playing the horns and all that. So I've definitely had a lot of experience as far as music. But the love that I've had for songwriting has never gone away. And, you know, since I've played so many instruments and I, like, know how they work on the basic terms, I think that's what led me into producing. Because once I started to get into hip-hop and I really started messing with artists like J Dilla and New Hobbies and Joey Badass and Pro Era, all them, I really loved the sound of their beats. I loved the waves that they're making. So I wanted to make some creations that captured that kind of vibe. So that's what got me into producing in the first place. Picked up a Machine Micro, and that's when I first got into sampling and just like laying some drum patterns over that. Just making stuff that would be like enough for my homies to freestyle on or something like that, so we could have like little ciphers and all that. So that's what got me into producing at first. So after like 1 to 2 years building with artists in my local area, doing little projects with them, releasing with them, getting more placements on my music, getting more recognition from working with more artists, I started to diversify the music that I was listening to. And as I moved to San Diego, I found myself really falling in love with electronic music and house music in particular. And as a producer, you definitely want to emulate the sound that you like at the moment. So naturally, as soon as I started listening to this kind of house music, that's what I wanted to do with my productions. And that's when I did a serious rebrand on my producer brand, did a 180 on the type of music that I'm making, the vision that I'm pushing, and pretty much everything about my musical persona. So that's when I kind of started to kickstart things with this deep house music. Except when I started off, I wasn't really doing the sound that I'm working towards as of recently. It was more so like the selected style, kind of more commercial M1 organ kind of deep house, you know what I'm saying? Because that's just what I heard. But you know, when I moved to San Diego, that's when I became of age. So that's when I started to like step out to the clubs and see more DJs and all that.
Yeah.
And that's when I kind of got to be more involved with the underground sound. I was never really exposed to it. You know, you don't know what you don't know, what they say. So when I started hearing this more underground techies kind of style house music, I immediately wanted to start making it my own. So that's like how my sound developed, and I started to build more towards my original sound, which I feel like I'm achieving with my recent releases, that kind of combination of the deep house and tech house, that minimal style. So that's what got me into the music that I'm making now.
Dude, it's so great to hear, like, just kind of that transition, you know, from picking up the guitar, playing the piano, growing up in such a musical household, which is, I feel like, just a common trait that we see with a lot of the artists that we talk to. So I just love that creativity, that form of expression is fostered at such a young age. I just love to hear things like that. So you were playing the guitar, playing the piano, you wanted to learn how to play the drums, you're producing hip hop. So, like, what was it about San Diego, California, which is an absolutely beautiful city for those of our listeners who don't know, just an beautiful city, the sun is shining, great.
I think everyone knows.
I just want to make sure, dude, like, you know, beautiful beaches, beautiful weather, beautiful people, but like how did that environment influence you to start producing deep tech influenced house music?
Well, one thing I love about my city is the community is vibrant, and like I said, I've never really been exposed to that kind of underground minimal techie kind of sound, but there's a lot of cool venues in the city. And there's a lot of collectives out here that are pushing that kind of sound. And that's how I got exposed to it, and that's how I fell in love with it. But one takeaway that I've kind of brought for this situation is I once read in a book by David Byrne. It's called How Music Works. And what he says in there is all music is composed for the audience or the venue that it is intended for. So, you know, I think that sound that is coming out of my productions is from the subtle intention that is for these venues that I have in mind, you know, like the venues that I've first stepped out to when I was exposed to this music. That's what kind of inspired the sexy underground groove to it, you know, like the composition I have in mind of the place where it's going to be played at is kind of what inspires the sound behind it.
What particular venues do you see your music being played at and do you like to play at?
I'm happy that you asked that question, because literally the first club that I ever stepped out to when I turned of age and when I moved to San Diego was Spin Nightclub. And it was like my first time at like a real deal club, you know, two stories with the rooftop and all that, with the fog machines going, all that stuff, you know what I'm saying, the lasers.
Real club, man. Yeah, like, yeah, a real club. Yeah,
you know, love the smell of vomit at 4 a.m you already know. But so after going there for the first time, like, I just thought it was the coolest thing ever, and I told myself I'm gonna keep working at this music thing until one day I can be spinning my own tunes here. Like, that's what I'm striving for. So, like, Spin Nightclub, the Blonde Bar, Kava Lounge, all these places, like, I started going out to, and like eventually been able to play at myself. So it's cool.
Oh, so
to
you
see
played
it come.
At these, yeah. You played at these clubs then. That's,
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah. So it's cool to see it come full circle. I'm very grateful for the people that helped these opportunities come about and that believed in my vision enough to book me in a play there. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool.
What a monumental achievement, man. I love to hear stories like that, dude. You know,
it looks,
it's like we also hear that from like other DJs who like attend festivals. Like, I think 4B might be one of those people who like did an interview where he was like, I used to be right there in that crowd with you guys at EDC Vegas, and now I'm up here. If you believe in yourself, like, your dreams can come true. Like, it's just so inspiring to hear those sorts of messages.
Yeah, straight up. And I feel like one important part to becoming a successful artist is just to never stop being a fan. You know what I'm saying? You always got to have a love and a passion for the music.
Who are some of the people right now that you're on then? Like, who's some of the people that are giving you inspiration at the moment?
There's definitely a lot of cats that I'm into musically. What I love about house music in particular is it's like everybody has a chance to shine. You know, Nobody's really paying attention to the name that it is associated with, but rather just how it sounds. So, but just off tops, a lot of artists that I'm digging right now, we got Chris Stussy, Joko, we got Arcady Ansyrev, Lauren Losung, Aaron Volta, all these cats mostly from overseas, over in Amsterdam and all that. But they crushing it right now. That European sound.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was just going to say, get this guy out of San Diego. Bring him to Amsterdam, man. that's your home, dude.
Let's put you on a plane. You know, we'll call up some of the clubs, be like, come on, guys. What's going on? Got to have this guy.
Yo, I'm definitely trying to make that happen. My grandpa is actually from Holland, so.
Oh, nice.
I'm trying to make him proud. I got the Dutch flag on my vision board, and seeing that every day, I feel like it is helping it come to fruition.
Vision board. When you say that, what do you mean? What do you mean you have a vision board? What is that?
Yeah, so I got this thing. It's called a vision board, which might seem kind of left field, kind of spiritual, holistic type of thing to some people, but I really think it's a beneficial tool to anybody looking to achieve great things. So basically, it's just like a little cork square I got in my studio above my monitors. And on this cork board, I pinned the things that I want to achieve, the places I want to go, the festivals I want to play, some quotes I like, communities I'm a part of, friends I want to play with, you know what I'm saying? Just these things that are kind of bringing my vision together and all one visual square, and it's kind of inspiring to see these things, and like as I'm producing, to look up at it and just see, like, ask myself, what can I do today to get myself one step closer to achieving these things? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about achievements and let's talk about goals, right? So you have this vision board in front of your desk every single day that you could take a look at and try to see where you want to see yourself in the coming years. But let's talk about some of the achievements that you've been through already so far. Like, what are some of the major milestones in your career that you've already experienced under the Drew Dapps project? And could you tell us a little bit about how that made you feel and how that kind of propelled you to want to keep growing as an artist?
I think one of my first achievements that really pushed me to keep going musically was my debut EP release, It's a Miracle We Ever Met, which came out on Conceptual Records in Moldova. So I feel like this was really motivating to me because I got to release with one of the labels that I've listed on my list of labels to work with.
Nice.
So it's cool to see them digging my work and want to work with me. So that was definitely exciting to me. And then as soon as it did come out, it got on the Beatport Top 10 for Deep House releases.
Oh, nice, dude. That's awesome. Hey,
thank you. So seeing my debut project get on the chart was like, wow, I actually got some sauce. I'm going to keep doing
this. Oh, shit. Jesus, that's fucking awesome.
What? Good looks.
That's a good EP, but holy shit, I can't believe it made it, like, it just rocketed up those charts, man. Congratulations.
Thank
that's
you.
Really cool. I didn't know that.
And,
along
with that, I through an EP release party as well. And this was like before I had any connects with any venues or anything. So I literally just like booked the art museum. That was like the one place I could find to work with me and just have some speakers and got as many people as I could to come through. So seeing that
come
to fruition, the release party, it charting and all that, that was just really inspirational to keep going harder.
So that EP, It's a Miracle That We Ever Met, that was like the first release that you put out as Drew Dapps that was pioneering this sound that you were going for. Am I correct in saying that?
Exactly.
The fact that you had so much success with it, like as this first project under your new direction, is just amazing. At what point did you tell yourself, like, yes, I'm ready to release this and put this out to the world? Like, at what point did you feel comfortable putting this new direction for yourself out there?
You know, I think I felt confident with it as soon as, like, I was able to throw these tracks that I produce into a record box, put them on my USBs, and just, like, play with them on the decks and have, like, some smooth blends. Like, it's working with the other tracks that artists that I look up to, it's fitting into like the vibe that I want to play in a set. So I think it's ready to shop out to labels.
So what is that vibe then? Like, how do you create a certain vibe? Is it just the tracks? Is it track selections, transitions? How do you create a vibe and a mood?
Well, I feel like with my style of music, it's all about the groove. You know what I'm saying?
So
in my productions and my sets, I'm just trying to pick the ones that got the best groove, the most waviest bass lines. And you know, I like to keep it simple for the most part. I think minimal vocals achieves that kind of vibe. I like how some tracks that have the minimal vocal, it's like the mantra of the song. And I feel like the mantras of the song can kind of combine to be like a bigger mantra of the entire set. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really like to mix tracks that have vocals back and like bouncing off one another.
I love that. No, that makes for the perfect vibe.
I just want to point out one song that was in the mix that I was just absolutely laughing at, right? Not laughing at, just because it was just you know what I'm talking about?
Shit,
like,
what was that?
The one where the woman and the guy were talking about, like, the guy's apartment.
The Chase Lounge?
So funny to listen to. I love that song.
I'm glad you dig it. That's coming out on Womack and I's collab EP.
The
song is called Chase Lounge.
I love that.
The world ain't ready.
Hey,
the world looks. Really. How'd you come up with that song? Like, was there a story behind it?
My mans had sent me like a groove to work with, like some chord stabs, and then I added my own sauce to it. Added some more melodic elements. Once I found that vocal, I knew the name of the song off tops. Chase Lounge. So yeah, that one's dropping on the 23rd, so be on the lookout for that.
Oh my
project.
God.
I'm glad you dig it though.
Dude, it's amazing. Like, Samir and I texted, we were just like, this song is so fucking funny. It was awesome.
It's awesome.
But it works perfectly though, and that's what I love about the mix, man, is that I can't get enough of it, because there's just so much. It's a groove, as you say. There's just like, it makes you want to move, it makes you want to dance, and it's just so smooth. So like, you really mix it in there very well. Excellent track selection. And so that's just one of the awesome things I love about it, man, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, of course, dude. But Samir, you know, I feel like there's something that we need to ask him, okay? We haven't got there quite
yet.
Okay. So
please.
This is something we like to ask all of our artists, because, you know, people have various different inspirations, so we've always gotten some really unique and interesting answers. So I hope, you know, I'm pretty sure we'll get a good answer out of you. If there's any DJ that you could go back to back with, you know, present, past, current, who would it be? Or it could be a B3B if you really want to.
B3B? I don't know about that. That's freaky.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah,
I agree with that. Yeah, a little too much.
I think I got to say, I would have to do this with the grandfather of house music. I would have to go back to back with Frankie Knuckles.
Dude, that is what an answer. Oh my God. That is so funny that you mentioned it, because our last episode, I did a deep dive, or kind of a brief deep dive, as you will, on the history of house music. Talk about Larry Levan, talking about Frankie Knuckles, Warehouse Paradise Garage in New York, you know, these essentially just the creation of house. And that's what I think I love about when I dug into the history of it and then started listening to your music. You really capture a lot of the soul, that, you know, a lot of that energy that I don't even know how to describe it, just from older sounding like disco music and stuff. And so where do you see your sound taking you? Are you going to continue doing this type of, you know, deep house? Are you going to keep experimenting? You know, what's going on with your creative process there?
Yo, well, much love. I'm happy that you think my music captures that soulful vibe, because that's definitely
what
I'm trying to achieve.
Absolutely does.
But, you know, I can really only produce what I feel inside, you know? That's what makes sense to me only. So the way I feel inside is that chill, groovy, kind of sexy sound, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just going to keep producing what I'm passionate about, and I'm feeling this kind of wavy, minimal, all you need to groove type of sound. So I'm going to just keep pushing in this direction. I've got like a list of labels that I want to work with in the future, and I'm going to keep producing music that fits this sound, that fits the Drew Dapp Slaps playlist sound, self-plug.
Hey. Yeah,
because it's a vibe, and I feel like people say that the music, the vibe that it brings matches the vibe of my personality. So I think I'm headed in the right direction.
I love that. When you can create music that expresses who you are inside, I think that not only does that lead to just some really interesting tunes, but at least a high quality tunes as well. You know, like, you're a busy guy, right? I mean, you got some big releases coming out this month. You got 3 EPs. You're in school. You're studying. You're in a brand new city, San Diego, California, baby. You got friendships and relationships. Like, tell me, man, like, you got all this stuff going on. How do you balance it all? Like, it's not easy to balance all these passions and responsibilities. So we want to hear from you, Drew. What's that process like for you?
I'm happy that you appreciate that having this type of lifestyle takes balance. So thank you for recognizing that.
Of course, man.
But, you know, I really think it all comes down to consistency and dedication. So to, you know, have a career being a prolific artist, you need to make it a priority every day to be working on your craft. So the way that I handle that is I schedule my producing sessions to be first thing in the morning. So before anything even happens, before anybody trying to reach me on the phone or anything like that, I set aside time to get in the studio and just make stuff happen, you know. Just because you need to get the whole process down to become prolific. The more tracks that you work on, then the more you'll be able to finish them faster, you know. It's not really like about the quality, it's that quantity leads to quality. You feel me?
Of course. What does a typical day look like for you? Like, I feel like you got to wake up super early to not have to be, like, bothered by anybody. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like my phone is, like, always saying something, like, as soon as I wake up. But it's so annoying sometimes.
So, you know, I just try to not look at my phone until I'm done with the producing session. So I'll wake up in the morning. I'm a caffeine addict, so I have my coffee.
Got it. Right
here. You found
it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. It's something that, yeah, that's it. I feel like it's the only addiction that is socially acceptable and that most people have.
You're not wrong.
You know, I mean, it's all right. Yeah, you know what? Caffeine runs away.
We all got our vices. Yeah.
Shout out to caffeine for powering my early morning studio sessions. But
this is sponsored by caffeine. Yeah, love it.
But first things first, I'll have the coffee. I like to read. And then journal before anything.
Sorry, before you go on with this, like, you take a very, you know, process oriented way to producing music and managing your time, which I love. I think it's phenomenal. But you're one of the first artists I've heard that really does it in detail. Where'd you learn to start doing this stuff? And then can you describe what your process is from, like, start to finish?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, one quote I like to base my life off of is from Michael Jordan. And he said, my greatest quality is that I was highly coachable. So what I like to take away from this is, no matter if you've seen success, there's always a way that you can improve, whether that be improving your craft or improving the consistency of your output. There's always a way to be better. And that's what I want to shout out the Finish More Music community for. Keith Mills, the man's. He organizes a community. It's kind of like a system. It's like a learning process of how you can become more prolific with your productions. And this whole system is geared towards underground dance music producers.
Love that.
It's really been a cool thing to do. I would recommend it to anybody that's looking to become more prolific with their work. And it's just a community that holds you accountable. It's actually where I met my man's Womack online, which we've got this EP releasing together. So it's cool to just be with like-minded people that hold you accountable. So from this community and from this program, I've, like, been able to hone in on my productivity some more. And like I said, there's always some room for improvement, but this kind of system has allowed me to build a process where I can be consistent with my work. It's like helped me build a template in my DAW. So in FL Studio, I have it set up ready to go just to create a new track. And that's kind of helped me be consistent with my arrangements and just like the elements that I have within a track. That's helped guide me a lot.
Malik is all about the templates.
I love this, dude.
He loves his templates.
I'm like, dude, I'm the same way. I templatize as much as possible, streamline processes.
For sure.
Dude, you sound like an ops manager. I love it. It's great.
Good looks. I'm happy that you are like-minded in that way.
Yeah, man.
Of course,
man. It's like, that's why Samir's chuckling over there, because I have the same type of thing. I'm like everything has to be thought out like a bullet point, and everything has to be like, you know, templatized, streamlined, and everything. That's funny you can hear that. So just quickly, if you can quickly give a description of your, you know, your process. You know, I know we start talking about in the morning, so we can pick off that. You know, in the morning, is there anything that you do in the evenings as well? You know, anything you do on the weekends particularly, what's kind of your overall process to making sure you get a track done?
I think that the early morning session is the most vital, because that's when your mind is most fresh, you know. I think that's when the most creative ideas come, or the muse will give you the ideas, you feel me?
There's actually a lot of research on that, by the way. I'll put it up on the show notes. Yeah, there's a lot of. I'm serious. All right, man. I read about this shit. Okay, so
I just love the passion that you're exuding right now, dude.
It's true though. Like, because the thing is, I'm gonna hit y'all with another quote. This one is Stephen Pressfield. He says, "The most important thing about art is work. Nothing else matters except sitting down every day and trying." So I have that quote on my vision board. And it's really powerful, because, you know, it's easy to let resistance beat you when you have nothing on your DAW, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you sit down every day and just try, then you'll be, like, pleasantly surprised how easy the ideas come to you. Like, you never know when something might spark the inspiration. So that's why you just got to make it happen. You got to get in there and just complete tasks, you feel me? Just get closer to finishing the track, and then the more ideas come, the more that you're gonna be feeling it, and the more addicted you're gonna get to producing, because you just want to get in the lab and crank out that tune, finish it up.
Hell yeah, dude! I love the passion that you have for this sound that you're trying to cultivate. You've got so many great releases coming up this month. You've had a fantastic career so far. So now we want to look to the future. So what does that look like for Drew Dapps and your project? Like, what do you have coming up? Outside of the releases that you have coming up, are there any other milestones that you're looking forward to?
Thank you for asking that. And what I'm trying to do is definitely release more music. I'm trying to connect with as much people in the industry as possible, like you guys. So good looks on having me on the show. Just trying to link up with people that share the same passion for the music as I do. But in the future, as I become more established as a producer and have like a more solidified sound, definitely want to start my own imprint, whether that be like a label or something where I can put on for artists that I believe in and release their music in like a timely fashion that's quality artwork, quality promotion. Because, you know, the more that I release, like the more I learn about the right way to do things. So as I cultivate this experience, eventually I want to put it into my own project of like a label. And I want to do that when I have like the right partners to do it with and all that.
We can call it like Dapper Slappers or something like that. You know what I mean? I'm just spitballing.
When the name comes, it will be the time. But yeah, that's in the future, though. I really enjoy playing live, so I want to just play like as many festivals as possible. I enjoy the whole experience of just going and enjoying the vibe that it offers. Like, these camping things are fun. So it's cool to see the adventures that music takes me on. So wherever the music takes me, that's where I'm going
to
go.
You're willing to try some new things and take some risks. I think it's wonderful. I think it keeps music innovative, and I think it keeps it fresh. So one thing that we've noticed here in the U.S., and it's really, really fun to see, is that house music is on a major boom right now. It's a really interesting trend that we're seeing out here in the U.S.
It's beautiful.
It's amazing. So let me ask you, Drew, like, are there any other trends in the scene that you're seeing that get you excited about the future of EDM?
You know, I think that we're definitely in like a renaissance period of being an artist with the internet and the tools like social media and the accessibility that like Spotify and these platforms give to the artists. I think we are in a position of power to not only promote ourselves, but do good for others. And just, I think that showing love and putting on for others has only become more and more of a normal thing as the internet culture develops. Like, you see a lot of artists got Spotify playlists, and like I said, on Drew Dapp Slaps, I put on for my people, put on for the music that I love, you know, the music that I want other people to hear that I feel needs to be put on, then I'm going to put people on and share it. And like what you guys are doing with the podcast, I like how artists are coming out with their own podcasts and they're chopping it up with their peers. Absolutely. It's honestly something that I might want to get into in the future, because I'm all nice. About giving back to the community. I want to just put the love out there and it will be received back. You know what I'm saying? So I like how people are getting more and more involved, helping build one another up.
I'm glad that you spot that as a trend, because I think sometimes people can get a little bit too focused on the negative, you know, and there's a lot of stuff that, you know, that should be concerned about, but I don't think we've highlighted the positive things enough. And I think that's definitely one aspect of the scene that I know that I myself was really attracted to at the beginning, was just, you know, the freedom, the openness and everything. And I feel like in that, you know, in your music and particularly, you can really feel the soul, the vibe, the depth to it. And as you've developed and just gone throughout your career, I mean, how did you come across this sound? I know we talked about some of your influences, but how did you come across your sound, and how do you see it evolving? Are there going to be different types of vibes, right? Like, are you going to come out with something maybe a bit darker? I don't know. I mean, where do you see your sound going, and, you know, how did you get here?
You know, that's a good question, but I really feel like the music that I produce is only the way that I feel on the inside. Like, I've had a lot of cats like pass up on me because my music doesn't go hard enough. You know right. what I'm saying? But the thing is, I don't feel hard and angry on the inside. You know what I'm saying? I feel chill and groovy on the inside. That's what ultimately what's going to inspire my sound. So as long as I keep feeling like this, which is not going to go away anytime soon, that's what I'm going to put out into the world with my art.
Dude, I love how positive you are, man. That's honestly, it's really amazing to see. And particularly with anybody that's just doing as much as you are. How do you keep the positivity up?
Thank you, bro. And to be real, every morning I read this book. It's called The Daily Stoic. And I don't know if you're familiar with the Stoic philosophy, but these ancient cats, they are just chopping it up. Like, what's the meaning of life? And in this book, there's a passage every day. It starts from one of the OGs, and then it's kind of translated into like modern day. But it's really just all about living in the moment, just focusing on what's in your control. And when you focus on that, then that's when you're going to be most happy and not bothered about what's going on in the world. So I feel like that starting my day off with that really influences my behavior and thought process. So that's kind of helped me maintain a positive outlook on life. But I just feel like if you show love in the world, then that's what you're going to receive back.
I love that.
Thank you.
That is awesome. Have you read Marcus Aurelius by any chance?
Yeah, exactly. He's in that book all the time. That's cool that you dig that. That's what's
I
up,
I do,
bro.
Man. I love like reading up on all that stuff. But no, I know it's funny. Like, and you know, you may have said it before, but this may all sound quite left field, right? But at the end of the day, this is stuff that genuinely helps people get stuff done, right? And I think for artists, because I think artists particularly can benefit from things like these, because you guys are, you know, we're also creative, but this kind of puts a little bit of a structure around it so that you can channel it when you need to. So at what type of advice would you give to, you know, a bedroom producer who maybe isn't feeling that motivated about, you know, his or her music? What's some of the advice would you give? Slap him with that Drew Dapp's love, man. What are you going to tell him?
Say less. Well, for one, like I said, it's very important to make producing a daily habit of yours. And when you do this, you got to leave judgment at the door. You can't give up on a tune just because it's not sounding like your favorite artist. You got to see it through every single time. You got to make sure that track gets finished. What I like to say is that producing a track is a lot like rolling a joint. Check it out. The first few that you do are going to be mad ugly. They're not going to look right in case of the joint. They're not going to sound right in case of the track. They're not going to smoke right. It's not going to sit in a set right with your first tune and your first joints. But the thing is, you just got to get it done. You got to see it through. Because the thing is, it's not about quality. It's the fact that quantity leads to quality. So the more that you complete, the better you're going to get the process down, the more you're going to learn about your own production habits.
Yeah.
And the more that you're going to uncover about your true self. And that's what you need to do.
That is such a high note to have this conversation on right now, man. I love that analogy. I really do.
I really believe in the analogy, so I'm happy.
I love your analogies, man. Yeah, I think that's probably one of the best analogies I've ever heard.
Is that from the Daily Stoic? Like, where is that from?
Dude, that's from Camp Dappington philosophy.
There you go, man. You know, we've learned so much about you in this time that we've had with you, and we just want to make sure that our fellow EDM champions, they're well aware of who Drew Dapps is and what he's all about. So is there anything else that you feel like our listeners should know about you?
Man, that's a good question. I just be cool, and I just do what I like to do in life, and that just involves being myself, making friends, making music, going out skating. I think it's important to be a part of a community. And if you want to build as an artist, then you got to put yourself out in the world and just make yourself known. So I feel like skateboarding has kind of helped develop my producing career. It's allowed me to make friends in a new city. And those people that are part of a community are going to want to support you and uplift you when you add value to their community. So that's what I just try to do in every aspect of my life. Just be the best person that I can be.
What a positive note.
There we go.
Dude.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today, man. We really, really appreciate that. It's always so inspirational to hear like the stories of the artists and how they got to where they are today. And we got to ask you, man, like if our EDM champions, if our listeners want to connect with you, what is the best way to do that? How can they get in touch with you?
Hey, good looks, my man. But yeah, so you can find me on the internet at Drew Dapps. That's DREWDAPPS, like dapping you up. DrewDapps.com. You can find me on all the streaming services, Drew Dapps.
EDM Champions, check this out. We'll also have all the links to Drew Dapps' socials, his Spotify, his SoundCloud, his website. We'll have that all on beyondthebeast.co. Just check out the artist spotlight section. You're going to be able to find the mix as well on our SoundCloud. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be sexy. It's going to be a good time. But guys, Drew, thank you so much for your time, man.
Yeah,
we really appreciate it. And you already know that we're going to be supporting your releases that come out in the future.
Absolutely.
So definitely keep us posted.
Thank you for having me on the show. Appreciate you guys.